Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass.
Thank you, Macca. And now for just something a little bit different, we're going to talk about coronavirus again. We have got on the airwaves Professor Stephen Duckett, health economist and health director of the Grattan Institute. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Morning, Tess.
Great to have you back on the airwaves.
Great to have you back.
You need to lift your game on Words with Friends, by the way.
I beat you last time, Tess.
Just. I reckon you must have a cheating tool of some sort.
No, I've got the word radar, which helps. Yeah.
The word radar, yeah, right, there
it's
you
called,
go.
It's called intelligence, Tess.
There you go. Now, Stephen, you wrote a piece during the week about the roadmap. And you argued that most of it was good, but some of it was not so good. Tell us what wasn't so good about Daniel Andrews' roadmap out of this lockdown.
So Tess, as I said, most was good. I mean, he set the target at zero. He set the criteria. He gave us hope and said, look, you get here, you're out, we relax this. You get there, we relax this. The trouble is, one of the points was the criteria that he used are way, way, way too complicated. And so, for example, you know, when for the last few months, we've all been sitting there watching the news and they say the number of new cases today is X and the number of new cases tomorrow or yesterday was Y. And we focus on the number of new cases and, unfortunately, the number of deaths. They're the two headline numbers. So rather than using that clear criteria of number of new cases, he said it's going to be the average over the last 14 days. Well, I can barely count to 10 and I can count the points in my Words with Friends adequately, Tass, obviously. But why did we introduce this new criterion of the number over the last 14 days? When we at Grattan thought about it, we said you cannot rely on a single day's numbers because they bounce around too much.
Yes.
So let's say the number of new cases over the five consecutive days is less than 20 or less than 50 or whatever number your criterion is. So you can use a very clear, simple number, which they didn't do. And then on top of that, they said, oh, and even if we get to the number that we said is the right number, we're not going to lift the restrictions until such and such a date. So we get there. We're really proud that we've all buckled down, we've all stayed inside, we've all worn our masks. And then they say, nah, you've got to wait another 3 days, or nah, you've got to wait another week. So, you know, it's way too complicated. And then they said, oh, and only if we worry about the number from a different source and so on. So one of the criticisms was this complexity of the criteria they used.
Mm.
Another one is not everything they did was evidence-based. So, you know, why do we still have the curfew, for example? That doesn't make much sense at all because it's... And since we wrote that piece, the Chief Health Officer, Brett Sutton, came out and said, yeah, it wasn't my idea. And then the Police Commissioner said, yeah, it wasn't my idea. And so everybody's sort of backing away from it. But, you know, we should be using evidence as much as we can. We should be clear. We should be taking the public into our confidence.
Can I ask on the curfew, it's Macca here. I agree with it because it's reducing
movement.
Reducing movement. Now, there's a discussion about how it was introduced and whose idea it was. Apparently, even the Premier doesn't know whose idea it was, but which I find quite disturbing. But it has reduced movement, and there are only four reasons at any time you're allowed to be out of your house, whether it's 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. or 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. So what it's done, it enables the police to enforce those provisions a little bit more. But you're saying, would you be happy for the curfew to go, Stephen?
So Macca, think of it this way. Those four reasons for being out of the house apply at any time, as you point out.
Yes.
So what does the curfew add? You shouldn't be out of it. You should only be out of the house for four reasons, whether the curfew is there or not. I'll put another example to you. In Paris, in France, they said you can only do your exercise at night. That is, if you're out of the house during the daylight hours, it can only be for three reasons.
Okay.
And that makes it way easier to enforce, because if you're going for something else, you can, this is my hour of exercise, you can say, at any time of the day. So what they've said is, yes, we're sort of going to have a curfew, but the curfew is very funny, it's a reverse curfew. Exercise is only after this particular time. So you know, the curfew here is, yes, it does reduce activity. I mean, I was talking to some friends last night, and they said, they went out, they realised they wanted to get their takeaway, and so they went out and actually went to collect it, and they got home at 7:59, and they were very proud of themselves how fast they moved to the takeaway. So yes, it does, but they, you know, would it have been any better or any worse if there'd been no curfew and they got home at 8:30 with their takeaway? Mm. Still a legitimate reason to go out. So that's the sort of thing, you know, and it is, you know, there's a lot of criticism of it. And if it is not adding much or anything to reduction in the transmissions, why keep it?
So tell us what works. What is good about this package that the Premier put out?
Yeah.
Because all we've heard is negativity. You know, when you listen to the media, when you open the papers up in the morning, all you get is just this negativity. What's positive about it?
Well, can I just stay with the negativity for 1 minute? One of the reasons that there's negativity is this claim that all of these restrictions are bad for the economy. You have the big businesses and indeed the small businesses saying, we're doing it tough. In fact, the reverse is true. The restrictions and the economy, the right thing to do for public health and economics is the same thing. Getting this over and done with once is the right thing to do. If you just look over to England, they removed their restrictions, and they said, and everybody said, yay, we've removed restrictions. Before the virus was eliminated, they were down at about 500 new cases a day across the whole of the United Kingdom. They're now up, I think, to about 3,000 cases, and they're going back into lockdown.
Yep.
So I think Birmingham has gone into lockdown this week. So you've got this yo-yo economy occurring where you're out of lockdown, celebrating, and then you're back in lockdown. Then you're out of lockdown, celebrating, you're back in lockdown. And that is terrible for business confidence, terrible uncertainty. People are going to keep saving rather than spending. So the right thing to do is to keep the restrictions, and that is what the Premier has done. That is the right thing to do. That's why I support it.
So locking down hard is actually a positive thing. That's what you're saying.
What I'm saying, Tess, is it's absolutely a positive thing, absolutely the right thing to do. We'll be out of this sooner. It's tougher right now, but in the long term, it's going to be better for us in terms of getting out of being able to relax. You just look across, even look up to Queensland. They're back. Yeah, everybody's back at university. The shops are open. Everything's going hunky-dory. Well, they've got a few outbreaks now, but overall, the Queensland economy is in a better shape because they got down to zero and stayed there and have protected, you know, taken some tough decisions on the borders to make sure they don't, the virus doesn't get out of control. But so one of the things we know about the virus, we know much more now than we used to, masks work. That's one of the things, masks work. That's why they should be wearing masks in New South Wales. Masks work. The second thing is, the virus spreads more indoors than it does outdoors. Ventilation helps. We've got different restrictions on indoors and outdoors, much tougher restrictions on, you're not allowed to have gatherings anyway, but as part of the plan, there's more restrictions on indoors than outdoors. Absolutely appropriate. So, you know, these sorts of things are really important, and that's what we should be keeping, and that's why I think it's a good plan.
Can I ask Stephen? You know, you have a different view on some of this. I'm not asking. Well, I suppose I am asking whether the government's aware of that view. Do you tell them, you know, do you communicate to the government and to the health officials that this
is your view? Yes, absolutely.
And what do they say?
So we released a report a week or so ago now, just before the government did. And as part of that, I met with Brett Sutton virtually from my desk to his desk. I met with the Secretary of the Health Department and the Deputy Secretary. So, yes, I met with them and talked to them about what we were doing and our approach and what they were doing and their approach. And I'd have to say I modified some of what we did, and I hope they modified some of what they did because of those conversations and because of what we were saying.
Well,
that's healthy and productive.
That's encouraging, I think. Look, I think, you know, we're all in a heightened state of anxiety. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, you get pressure from business and they say, look, there's potentially going to be problems with, you know, ham supplies at Christmas. Why just hams? I don't know. You know, what are all the, you know, all the pigs going on strike, are they? You know, we don't know. We have to rely on the advice. But what concerns me, and when we spoke with Misha Ketchell in the previous segments about, you know, that the experts are getting, you know, they're driving the policy and the implementation of it, yet you have inconsistent things where in Queensland that lady couldn't go to the funeral. She could view the body, but she couldn't go to the funeral. Yet the chief medical officer says, oh, well, the reason we've got all these people from the AFL and Tom Hanks in here is because they bring in a lot of money to Queensland and we need the money. I mean, that's a public health official who should be dealing with the health evidence, making a political judgment, and you have the Prime Minister criticising the Premier of Queensland for not making a health judgment.
Yeah, I didn't see, Mac, I didn't see Jeanette Young's comments.
They're pretty unfortunate.
What I say is this. We do know that funerals, weddings and churches are places where the virus spreads. Actually, football matches too, shouting, singing are things that actually spread the virus. So, you know, you've got to be really careful in those sorts of events and in those sorts of circumstances and tighten them up. Ham, for example, we know that the virus spreads more in abattoirs than in other places. So there are some reasons why you'd expect some of these things. But you're right. What I'm concerned about is that the lockdown costs the economy a bit. The lockdown harms people, you know, domestic violence, alcohol and drug issues, mental health issues, all of these things are happening and we have to acknowledge that. We have to put in place the support systems and so on. But in the long term, these restrictions are going to be they're going to be over soon and we're going to get out of this and we're all going to be celebrating again with spatial distancing for a while. We're going to be getting out of it, and that's what we should be aiming for, and that's what we should be focusing on, and we should be talking about getting there and maintaining those restrictions until we're there.
Your message is a hopeful one, and that's certainly very welcomed and very
encouraging.
I'm really, this morning.
I'm really pleased, you know, that you presented your evidence, you know, to Brett Sutton and others, and you know that you've made some changes to your methodology or to what you're suggesting, and hopefully they have. That's a really encouraging situation. That, you know,
well, that's what a democracy should be about. It should be this interchange where officials and so on listen.
What a novel concept!
And yes, Macca, that's right.
No, it's very encouraging, Stephen. That's some really good news, and I know you will continue that. We have actually had a couple of requests in for Brett Sutton. I'm sure he'd love to come and talk to us.
Oh, we've had plenty of the deputies in, Macca.
We'll continue.
Stephen, thank you for your time this morning. Always great to hear your words of wisdom. Keep up the great work.
Yes, thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the gloomy Saturday afternoon.
And with regard to the word game you play with Tass, just remember this, Stephen. The difference between second and last is the spelling.
Ha 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 ha.
Tass lost.
Thanks, Stephen.
Good. Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.